Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
Look at me, sure. I'm the captain now.
Welcome to the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Dano, and with me as always, we have Paddo. Welcome, Paddo.
Yes, hello, Dano.
I don't know what that was so awkward.
Mondays suck when your Supercoach team was fucking shit.
I don't know. Mine was all right.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, anyway, Paddo, we'll start off. Fuck, you threw me out of whack there. You'll start off with the group winner. We had another fucking ripper team name, Paddo. So it's Vinny's team, and I'm pretty sure I know who this is. Usually, if it is the Vinny I'm thinking of, he usually goes with like Plunk Ball. But he's got a different team name if it is him this year. What's the team name? What did he score, and who did he have?
So the team name is Walls of Cherry Co., which is a brilliant little play on words there. Maybe that's my problem, Dana. Maybe I need to come up with a real pun for my team name next year. Anyway.
Well, mine's I Done, Gone, and Won. So
yeah. Yeah.
You need something.
So, yeah, 2,662, which is a massive score. Good for 34th overall for the week. The back line was massive for Vinny. So, Whitfield, Sheasel, Zorko, Clark, and Reed. Reed scoring like a primo randomly. That hurts me every week, Dano.
That hurts me too.
Yeah, so he had the VC on Brayshaw, which was obviously a brilliant decision for that game, but also had Dunkley, Rosie, and Marich in the midfield. Looking a little bit bare in the midfield there, but it didn't matter this week. Cherry, De Koning, and Marshall as a little ruck trio there. No Gorn, though. I think I got more from Gorn than I would have from De Koning. And the forward line is nice and solid as well. Petrarca, Smith, Rankin, Horn, Francis, and McRae, and that little midget that is pretending to try and be a primo as well.
I think we're going to have some discussions on him as well.
Good.
But a 2662 is pretty fucking good. So
massive, yeah. With a midfield awesome. That I would say that's not actually that strong. The only proper primos in there are Brayshaw, Dunkley, and Rosie. And Rosie isn't even going to stay as a midfielder. So a bit of work to do there. But, I mean, his rank is a lot higher than mine. So who am I to say?
Yeah. Anyway, we'll go to our own ranks and scores. So before the last game, Paddo, did you see my message about my projected and then it came crashing down?
Because of the helmeted one?
Not just the helmeted one, also Lockie Neal. No, I was projected at like 2,570-something. And then that last game happened and I ended up getting a 2,461. So still went up 1,000 ranks. So I'm in the top 5K now at 4,445. SDK finally pulled his finger out for me. That's been a frustrating hold. But Sheasel, Sinclair, and Clark did well. Brayshaw VC, Paddo, was good. He ended up being my highest scoring player, equal highest scoring player with Baz Lenker up the front, so I'm up forward. Rosie finally pulled his finger out for me. That was good, but yeah, Lockie Neal let me down. Noah Anderson was on 94, Paddo, got 7 touches and finished on 96. I don't know how the fuck that works.
Interesting.
We were like, oh, fuck yeah, he's on heat, and it's like he only went up 2 points. Finn Callahan, 104, all right. He's been a good hold for the moment. Big Maxi's 142. And then, Baz Lenker, 154. Chad Warner, 93. Ryan Marich, Paddo. Fuck, man, I'm going to hold this dude. 126. And look, that was with Ben Payton's freaking 6 on field too, mind you, Paddo. So, yeah, going okay. Didn't like trading Hustwade in for a measly 27, but he was on my bench. So, yeah. Anyway, how about you?
I don't want to talk about it, but we will for the sake of the podcast and the content. So, I scored 2,192.
Damn.
And that made my rank plummet 8,700 spots to around 19,000.
Damn.
Yeah. Off one bad week. I made a myriad of mistakes in this week, Dano. Now, I took a risk in defense and traded in my in my defense, I had to field Finn O'Sullivan for a 24 there. Now, I knew that was going to be a fairly down score, but it was kind of like a short-term pain for a, well, I was hoping for a, for an upgrade this week to get him off field. I don't know if that's going to be possible now. It's crazy because I've got Whitfield, Chiesel, and Zorko, who are, you know, three uber primos, I would have thought.
Yeah.
Roberts, Bison, O'Sullivan on field as the other three. So that hurt. Managed to avoid the Peyton six, which I almost fielded him over O'Sullivan, but didn't. But it started on the Thursday night, Dano, where I had Dacos as VC, and it was an ultimate toss of the coin between Dacos and Brayshaw.
Bugger.
I almost would have been better off taking the VC because I did end up captaining Neil. My problem is... Freo haven't tagged all year, and they decided to use a halfback to tag Nick Dacos, who ended up getting injured, which happens. It was a Thursday night. It was a VC, so it was all good. I was that confident that Neil would go big. North Melbourne have conceded massive scores to midfielders all year, except for when I captained Lockie Neil against them. So that was disappointing. It was actually looking like a 50-odd score until Neil kind of put his finger out in the second half. So thankful for him to get 81, but that was my first captain miss all year. So you kind of have to cop it on the chin. But here's where another mistake. I fielded Hustwaite rather than I know I couldn't loophole him because he played Sunday, but I fielded him. I was fairly confident that he would do okay on the Saturday against Hawthorn, and ended up getting subbed out at halftime. So I was almost certain that that would be my lowest on-field score. Then Finn O'Sullivan played. I use that term loosely. I also fielded Elijah Hewitt.
Oh, yeah.
So I had O'Sullivan, Hustwaite, and Hewitt, who got 24, 27, and 33, respectively. I also overthought things, Dano, and those that follow me on Twitter will know what I'm talking about. But for those others playing at home, I had an inkling that Levi Ashcroft could get rested and possibly play as a sub on Sunday night. And being the last game of the round, there was absolutely nothing I could have done to avoid that sub score. So I overthought things, as I always do on Saturday, and decided to swap Caden Cleary with Levi Ashcroft.
Oh, no.
So Cleary was my flex. So I got 35, which then took O'Sullivan's 24 off field. So I copped the 35, I copped the Hustwaite 27, and I copped the Elijah Hewitt 33. I also copped the Caleb Daniel 51 with Ashcroft on my bench. And I floated it about 15 minutes before the Brisbane game, Dano, in our group chat, about benching Caleb Daniel and then fielding Levi Ashcroft ahead of him once I'd known that he wasn't the sub. But then I thought myself out of it because no one responded in the 15 minutes I needed them to, because I thought Brisbane Lions could well have 30 shots on goal here and they may kick 15 behinds and Caleb Daniel could have 10 kickouts. Turns out North Melbourne decided to play a game of footy and almost should have beat them. And Levi Ashcroft was stuck on my bench, so I didn't even get him as a flex. It really fucking hurts because I got some really big scores. So I got Zorko 166, Brayshaw 154, I got Gorn 142, I got Cherry 186.
Yeah.
Which was a shock because Oscar McInerney does not concede scores like that. And Bailey Smith 154. But it was a flaming hot mess for the rest of it. So I got Matt Rowell, who somehow managed to get 80. Cripps was okay at 102. Like, you'll take that because he's been, like, that's higher than his average, just. You know, McRae was a bit down, but other than that, like, my team is good. I made some really bad mistakes, and I don't even know how to fix it.
Damn.
I also brought in Neil Erasmus.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I knew he was a sub, and I still brought him in.
Pato, you've had a mare.
I have. I've had a shocking weekend. Hence, feeling very flat.
Fair enough. Well, the only way is up. And on that note, injuries and suspensions. I don't know how that leads into it. Oh, well, here we go. Nick Dacos, Peck. There you go, first one. So I honestly reckon that Nick Dacos and the Collingwood fans are going to come after me. Scobie's going to come after me here. I reckon whenever Nick Dacos gets tagged out of a game, he fakes an injury and then he's back next week.
Suspicious, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just like, oh my God, no, I didn't play that well because I was injured, but I'm back this week and I'll drop a 150. Yeah, so anyway, I'm not going to read too much into that Dacos injury, but the Lewis Hayes ACL is so shit. for him as a player.
He looked incredible.
He's been biding his time. Fucking Mackay should have been out of the team ages ago. Hayes should have been in, and he finally gets a crack. Looks amazing. What happens? Bang, knee's gone.
Yeah, confirmed ACL now as well.
Yeah, and then you've got all these injuries in defense. Zach Reed's stonks are even more through the roof now than ever before.
I actually disagree.
But anyway, focus back on Lewis Hayes. I feel bad for him. I feel bad for Bombers supporters and for super coaches to shit. Anyway, now go on about your Zach Reed shit.
Actually, we're going on a bit of a tangent here, but I actually think Zach Reed stocks are down. He's got a negative break even, which is crazy. I'm pretty sure he has a negative break even again. Or was that last week?
Probably will. Anyway.
Yeah, negative -9 break even at 382K. I actually think his stocks are down, and that is only because he played loose on the weekend, and having Lewis Hayes play as a key defender helped him loosen up. He basically played the Ridley role better than Ridley, you would argue, and he's a pretty good player. But the problem is they've got no height left. Like, Kyle Langford got sent into defense in that game, but that was against Sydney, and they don't have a key. They don't have a forward line. So I can only think that Zach Reed has to play on the second key forward and Mackay plays on the first key forward. And unfortunately, they can't play Sydney every week. They have Carlton this weekend, so Reed and Mackay are going to be very busy with Curnow and Mackay. So Reed could well have to play on Curnow.
Yeah, fair.
And he could well score less than Finno Sullivan.
Yep,
but fair. If you own him, you're happy. He's got a negative break even, so he just has to walk out there and make money. But I just feel like his scoring potential goes down. I don't know who's going to play that loose role. Could be Nick Martin. Which is kind of scary as someone that traded him out. Could be Andy McGrath, who actually looked like an AFL player for the first time in a while on the weekend. They've got some options, but they don't have key defender options. That's all I'm saying.
Yep, not fair. Well, we'll move on to the rookie crisis here, Paddo, because what the fuck do we do? There's not much going on.
There's a big crisis.
There's a massive crisis, and we don't know what the fuck to do. And yeah, like, I've given you one name because it's all the only one that I can fucking think of, to be honest, and that's Sardell Hawley. Because even though he's had his price rises, he's still at 150-odd K. So he's affordable. He got a run at it on the weekend, and surely he gets more of a run at it because they got no fucking defenders.
Yeah, I mean, he pretty much has to. He's been playing more of a wing. But yeah, with their injuries, he has to play, and surely full games. But even he has question marks. And like, there's a lot of guys that have low break evens, but they're, and especially with the ones that have played one game, like, you cannot jump on these guys. Like, Hugh Boxall had a great debut, scored 75 against Freo, and then he follows up with a 38 where he had about 52% time on ground.
Yeah.
And it was kind of affected by the Philippou in, which is what I mentioned last week. So I hope nobody brought him in off the back of that. But I mean, Will Lorenz got 83 on debut and got dropped.
Which I said might happen.
Mate, people are talking about Jed Buse.
Yeah.
Who is 32 years old and is a perennial 45 average guy. Because he had one good game and he scored 95. He's going straight back out for Tom Stewart this week anyway. Like, that's how bad the rookie situation is. So I feel like, I mean, Lewis Hayes looked great, and it's a real shame that he is out now.
He was the savior.
Hopefully we get him next year. That'd be great. But even Joe Fonte, Dano, scored 77 on debut, followed up with 29. And that 77 was against Sydney. So, of course, you know, no forward line Sydney. Henry Hathaway subbed out at halftime.
Yeah, that was disappointing.
Because he couldn't play either West Coast or Richmond.
Yeah.
It's bad. It's real bad.
Like, Elijah Hewitt struggling at the moment as well.
Cooper Simpson looked good and played a bit of a halfback role, but he's only played one game. You couldn't possibly jump on him. Riley Hardiman looked all right, but it's probably too late now. He's up to 226K and he's only got a negative -1 break even.
We need like a Clay Hall to come back in, or like the Jed Buslinger.
Even then, like, West Coast are rotating their rookies something royal. Like, you just want them to give someone a 4 to 6 week block and give them a bit of confidence. And they're giving them 2 weeks and then dropping them, or 3 weeks. Gross had 46 and a quarter, but he can't play Richmond every week.
And he got ran down at the end.
That would have been 80 if he had kicked that goal, which is kind of crazy.
But he didn't.
No, he didn't. Tom Brown is a fucking legend.
So, yeah, we got a bit of a crisis there. Like, Sardell-Hawley got a 69, and he's still... His break-even's now 19, so those sub-affected games are out of his rolling average now.
Yeah.
So he's still... He's 156K.
So, he, for me, he's the one. But yeah. I just... You can't do it with any confidence that he doesn't get dropped. And the problem is, like, I don't know who everyone's got on their midfield bench, but at the moment, I'm looking at my midfield rookies. I've got Clay Hall, who hasn't played for ages.
Yeah.
Henry Hussway, who's got subbed out and hopefully plays a full game, but there's no guarantee. So he might not be the guy that was going to make that quick 100K like I thought. Lindsay's doing great, but I can't possibly trade Lindsay out. He's my only decently scoring rookie in the midfield. Mitch Nevitt, who I'm hoping comes back this week after 2 weeks off with that foot issue, and hopefully that fixes him. And Tom Gross, who was just a sub. And Elijah Hewitt, who just got 33, who might get dropped.
Yeah, right.
Like, it's bad. I don't know who people have got, because people are burning through trades. I don't know who they're bringing in. And I just feel like being so close to the buyers, people are going to struggle for bodies on field because these rookies are not reliable. So I feel like you almost got to hold these guys that are getting games. I look at someone like Riley Bias, who's been really poor for a couple of weeks now. His break-even is 102, but how could you possibly trade Riley Bias out because he's playing footy? He's got a round 14 bye. Like, if he's named, you play in the next 4 weeks. He might go down a bit in price. He might be 350K by the time he's got his bye, but you have to hold him to his bye.
Maybe.
Maybe, mate. Like...
We're still
Who else are you playing?
Xavier.
I feel like it's the same as Xavier Lindsay. Even Bo Allen's only played one game. You've got to give him that second game because the way West Coast are rotating their rookies, you couldn't possibly bring him in this week.
Yeah, and I've just had a look right at the VFL guys, and like your Josh Smiley, not going to
Smiley,
whatever. He's not going.
Smiley's not a stats guy though. He's an inside contested guy,
and he's still not going well.
He's not far from a debut.
He's not going too well. Look, yeah, there's not a lot on offer. There's no real standouts, to be honest.
So what I'm thinking, Dano, is getting a little bit creative. So I'm looking at bringing in Sardell-Hawley this week, provided he plays, obviously. He plays Saturday night, which is kind of shit. But I feel like he's the only real downgrade option. And I'm actually looking at trading out Caleb Daniel.
Yeah, right.
And that gives me 659 to play with. And we'll talk about primo trading options in a second. I feel like that's it.
Well, you've just done my two trades.
The other thing is Caleb Daniel plays Richmond this week.
Yeah.
So he could have a spike game, but he could get dropped as well.
Yeah, he's defensively a liability, which is funny because he's a defender.
Yeah, so I feel like I don't know if they want to, but I feel like they have to.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll talk about some trading options, and we'll keep going with the podcast because we could rattle on and rant on about this all night. Okay, so we'll start with some defensive trading options. We're going to discuss Dane Zorko. He's 531K, 113 average, 53 break even, 23% owned, 3 round average of 122. I said that I was going to bring him in, Paddo, and then you raised a question to me where I said, I'm going to reverse that trade straight away, and that was...
All I said was, are you not worried about Kitty Coleman?
I completely forgot he existed, and now I am worried, so...
You ended up reversing that just in time for his 160-odd.
No. This is for this round coming.
I still feel like he's a fine trade-in, and that's why he's the what I think is the number one option this week at his price. And there's some really good value to be had in the defense line this week. So if you are looking at an upgrade, I feel like it's the defense line that is where you're going to get a really good bargain. But we've spoken to our good friend Beto, who thinks that Jasper Fletcher will probably go into back onto a wing to allow Kitty Coleman to come back. I think Coleman only played a half on the weekend, and that's probably to get him right for this coming weekend. But I don't think it actually affects Zorko that much.
Well, I hope not, because I've just put Zorko back into my team. Because it leaves me with a fuck ton of cash to focus on next week's upgrades.
The end of the day, he's had, what do you have, a really poor month or so, like 3 or 4 weeks of down scoring, and he's still the second highest averaging defender in Supercoach, and he's at 531K, which I think is a real bargain, and this guy's a 120 guy.
Yeah, correct. We'll move on.
At his best, so, and he has these big spike scores, so he's VC worthy.
Well, another one is Jack Sinclair, 529K, 112 average, 22% owned, and 106 break-even. He's got West Coast this week, so, yeah.
Then Gold Coast, then Melbourne.
Yeah.
And he has that really good bye as well, where there's only two teams on the bye. But the problem is if you've loaded up on guys that have the good bye and you've got like four or five primos, which is possible because Marshall was really cheap last week. Jack McRae is in every team that's currently active. And Nasiah Wengel and Malera has been really popular. And then you've got Brayshaw, who's a stud. And then you've got Sarong, who's in a lot of teams as well. And Jordan Clark. So this is team dependent. If you have probably three of those guys, I don't think you look at Sinclair because it's a bit too much out of that buy. But if you don't, I think Sinclair is a really great price for someone that can do what he can do. And yeah, the next 3 weeks are really, really good for him until his buy. And then the Dogs isn't a great matchup, but then it's Collingwood, Freo, Hawthorn, who are conceding pretty big scores to defenders. So yeah, I think it's a really good price to pay for Jack Sinclair.
Yeah, I agree. Fuck, look at these. Jordan Clark, another one. 519K, 105 average, 10% owned. You're just listing all my fucking defenders. 103 break even. Look, he's a fucking jet, and the Freo game style just suits him to a T. The reason why I started him. He's got Giants this week, though. That's the downside at Engi. Whether he pops off for another shit score, to be honest, might happen. It really depends on if they put the forward clamp on again.
Yeah,
or so you could defensive clamp.
Yeah, so you could afford to wait a week on this.
Yeah,
because his break even is 103. I probably actually don't think he makes that, but I think Clark needs to be on your radar. He doesn't have the massive scores that he did last year. But he's a really solid, like, 95 plus guy. He had that one score against St Kilda last week where it's kind of weird. He was getting a bit more advanced than he normally does and scored 58, but bounced back with a 146. So I think he's a really good option, probably next week ideally. But if you already have a Sinclair, a Zorko, or whatever, I think Clark's a really good plan C.
Now, the guy that you don't want me to talk about, Bailey Dale, 494K.
Dano.
105 average, 15% owned, 41 break even. The reason why I want to talk about him is you've got the bias against him. You got to sometimes look at the stats, Paddo.
I do look at the stats, and that's why I think it's a fucking putrid decision to put him on the run sheet. So after round four, when he was averaging 115, you made me put him on the run sheet. And we talked about it, and I told everyone on this platform that he is a perennial up and down guy. He followed that up with a 68, and you messaged me saying, Paddo, you were right. He then had 93 and 70 after that.
93 is good.
93 is fine. And now he's gone back to his two big games in a row.
Yeah.
And I can almost guarantee that he will be back down probably this week.
He's got Essendon.
This is what he does, Dano. If you like roller coaster rides, get Bailey Dale.
Who the fuck doesn't?
Last year, he was not good. He had a patch of four games in the middle, and he had the odd big game. But for every big game, he has a fucking shit game. Dano, in round 22 against Adelaide, where what's his face was on him. Anyway, I can't remember his name off the top of my head. He scored 45. 45. You want that from a primo, Dano?
I don't know. Ask Tom Stewart Onus. Rip, I was one of them.
I cannot advocate this. He's currently the eighth highest averaging defender in Supercoach. That doesn't include Connor Rosie, who's about to get defensive status, and we'll talk about him after. He's just ahead of Max Holmes, who I think almost certainly overtakes Bailey Dale from an average perspective. Carl Amon's not far away, and Nick Martin could also overtake him. So there's 10 names that are all going to average more than Bailey Dale and won't give you the sort of floor scores that are going to lose you league matchups.
Well, let's talk quickly about Max Holmes then, because he's a similar price, 498, 499K. His break even is quite low as well, 67. He's got Port Adelaide this week, but again, he's only had 400+ scores in 9 games.
Yeah, so we spoke about Holmes last week. That's why I didn't include him this week. I still think he's a good option. So 134 against the Giants. That was more because Bedford didn't play, and that was lucky for him. He probably gets a bit of attention this week. He averages 70 against Port Adelaide, which obviously is not good.
He's scored over 100 against his next two opponents.
Yep, it is a tough two next 2 weeks, but then it opens up, don't know, West Coast, Gold Coast, Essendon. Brisbane's obviously tough. Then he's got the bye, then Richmond. Then he probably gets Toby Bedford, Saints, North Melbourne, Richmond in around 24, which is nice. He plays Richmond twice in 7 weeks. This guy's going to average more than Dale, don't know.
Okay.
So I do think Holmes is a good trade-in. I am happy to wait, though.
Yeah, okay. We'll move on to the midfield. First one, this is the guy that's been in and out for me. Zach Merritt, 589K, 113 average, 15% owned. He's got a 100 break-even Pat Obert. He's up against, what, the Bulldogs that don't tag. Honestly, can see him cracking that 100. I don't know whether it'll be a 140 or anything like that, but the following week is the Dreamtime game and definitely will smash out a massive score there. So he's under 600K, but it's up to you whether you want to wait or not. But I personally, if I was going to go him, I'd go him now, mainly because Bontempelli and Dacos are going to be dropping. And if I had the choice between the two of Dacos, or so the three, Dacos, Butters, and Merritt, I'd probably go Dacos or Bont. I go them. Butters is too expensive. He's still going to drop, but he's not going to drop freaking 90K in a round.
His break even is 183.
Again, he's not going to drop 90K in a round.
Not in one round, no. Butters and Bontempelli have a bye in 3 weeks. You couldn't possibly jump on them. They're going to be really nicely priced after their bye, but we're not talking about them. Merritt, who is who I'm eyeing off hard. Last year, I brought him in for Dreamtime, and I could hold out another week just because of the Dogs matchup, which isn't great. He averages 91 against the Dogs. Obviously, an incredible midfield, but then it really opens up to some teams that are not tagging. So Richmond, Brisbane, Carlton, Geelong will probably tag him. Fremantle, I mean, who knows, but they might bring out a tag for that game. Then the bye, then Gold Coast, Richmond after his bye. Someone else that plays Richmond twice in 7 weeks. That's crazy. But yeah, like there could be a situation where you're not going to get Merritt any cheaper for the rest of the year, possibly next week. But the thing is, if you've got someone available at the price that you're happy to pay with a break even of 100, you never know what's going to happen this week. Like a lot of people don't have boosts left. So if there's a popular primo that goes down and you have to trade them out, say it's a 6 week injury or something, you're going to miss your opportunity for Merritt because you have to correct that injury or suspension or whatever it is. And then you watch Merritt score 160 against Richmond and you think back 2 weeks and say, fuck, I knew Merritt was going to go big against Richmond. I should have brought him in last week while I had the opportunity. And now I can't get him because he's 120K and he's ascending massively. So if you can, I think you just do it. Like I'm tossing up whether to bring in one of the budget guys in defense. Sinclair would probably be the one playing West Coast this week, or Merritt and just biting the bullet with Merritt because I probably need to fix my midfield because it's bare bones.
Yep, fair. The next one, we got a bit of a left field one here in only 2% of teams, is Ed Richards, 573K, 112 average, and a 56 break even. Trelaw's got another week off as well. They're going to ease him back into things. And Bevo kind of looks like the Ed Richard. He's basically like, Ed Richards is the guy I want in that midfield mix, even when that, like, you got Trelaw and Bont. So, look, I don't mind it. Personally, I'd like Libber even more, but I think he's a bit out of reach now. So, yeah, if you got some balls, go for Ed Richards.
I think he's a nice POD. He's averaging 124 since Bont came back, so he's clearly not affected. If anything, he's actually scoring more with him in the team than out, because he's probably... I mean, when you've got Bontempelli and Libba scooping you out the ball as the inside mids and then Matt Kennedy when they're off, pretty impressive midfield there. And Ed Richards can just focus on being that outside guy because 9 times out of 10, it's probably getting out to them in a contest. So I think the floor is really good. He's nowhere near being a tag risk. Currently the 11th highest averaging midfielder. And that includes Bailey Smith, who is 6th in line, Dano, scoring crazily. I think Ed Richards is really nice. I think think is a really good M8 sort of area. 573 is a lot to pay for your M8, so I can understand why people wouldn't want to go there, but he's a really nice POD option, and I think he's better than some of the other PODs in that sort of area, like Hewitt. I mean, McCluggage is probably a better option for me. We spoke about him last week.
Yeah.
I think he's better than the next guy we're about to talk about, Dano. I think he's a better option.
I do not think so. Pato, if you could pay 544K for a bloke that is averaging... Well, he's actually scored, mind you, in... He's only scored below 100 two times.
I'd rather pay $9,000 less for the guy that's probably going to average more and pick up defense DPP.
If everyone's already got him, though. This guy's in 2% of teams.
Rosie's in 29% of teams.
If you don't have Rosie, you're having a bad time.
I don't, and I am having a bad time. It's not because of not having Rosie.
I've owned him for 2 weeks. But we're talking about Tom Green here, 544K, 109 average, 96 break even, and of course that 3% ownership. Pato, he's having such a fucking good year, and no one's talking about him. I raised it a few weeks ago. Listen to this, 115, 89, 128, 113, 117, 84, 101, 125. He's going good. And he's even starting to hit this. Let me finish. He's even starting to hit the fucking scoreboard, Pato, which is what we've been screaming for Tom Green to do.
He's getting less attention than last year. He actually closed out the year really well last year, which kind of got slept on because a lot of people rage traded him around the buys when he was scoring poorly.
Can I quickly interject? The reason why Callahan is the reason why he's not getting the attention, because who would you rather shut down? A guy that can burst away and just lace out someone with a massive left foot kick and is a massive gut runner, or would you rather tag someone that, you know, isn't the greatest runner on the planet and just gets in and under and flicks balls out?
Yeah, I mean, AFL coaches have different theories on that. Some teams like to target that inside guy that gets it out to the outside runner, and some people like to target the outside runner. I don't mind Tom Green as an option. I think he'd be a really good option as M7, M8 sort of area, and he's cheaper than Ed Richards. I just think the next guy we're going to talk about, which is who we were talking about just before, I think he's a better option at a better price.
What if you've already got him?
If you've already got him, then go get Jack Sinclair.
What if you've already got him?
Then go get Dan Zorko.
What if you've already got him?
Then go get Jordan Clark.
What if you've already got him?
Then you're ranked a lot higher than me and you don't need my advice.
That's true, because I am. Oh, shit. But anyway, Tom Green's an awesome trade in my opinion, and I reckon he's about to just start get going. And if he continues to hit the scoreboard like he's starting to, that fucking massive goal. Did you see that, Pato?
No.
From the boundary line? Fuck me. I was just like, okay, Tom Green's arrived. Let's go. It was awesome. So anyway, I wouldn't blame you if you trade him in. I personally don't like having two of the same team in the same line. And like that went... Like, everyone's like, what about Pendlebury and Dane Swan? Like, those guys, blah, blah, blah. It's just a preference for me, but I'd be willing to bend it for Tom Green. Anyway, next one
is... Would you say no then to owning Neil and McCluggage?
I'd rather McCluggage than Neil, yeah. I couldn't own both.
There you go.
That's why I haven't traded him in. But anyway, Connor Rosé, 535K, 108 average, 29% owned. One is not Pato. And 105 break even. Yeah, he's going to get defender status. That's the reason why I ended up going with him, because my defense is fucking pus. But it will be lit soon when he gets status. He's made the halfback his home. It's Bruce free footy. He's taking risks down the middle and still getting score involvement. So what more can you like, Pato?
Yeah, right now he would be the 6th ranked defender, according to averages. So you're getting a top echelon defender at a really good price. You just got to hold him in your midfield for now. The issue is there's value galore in that line. But if you've already got Zorko and Sinclair, I really like Rosie if you can get him into your midfield. 5-run average of 114, which is great. And that would put him, I think, second amongst the defenders, Dano, in that role. Yeah, that would put him just above Zorko.
There you go.
The break even means he won't get too out of reach because it's 105. So he'll probably float around this price, unless he has a big spike score, which, I mean, he's certainly capable of doing. It probably won't be against Geelong this week. It could be against Freo next week, but he's got that around 12 buy. So I'm looking at him post buy. I want to get Bont or
Butters.
Instead. But he's definitely, I probably can't afford them, so it's probably going to be Rosie in round 13.
The cash gen is dried up, so yeah, I get that's why I did my insane call about Gorn last week. But you're like, what? Anyway, move on. Jordan Dawson, 522k, 103 average, 15% owned, 75 break even. You love the two matchups that he's got, and then but you don't like the other two matchups, Pato. But I can't bring myself to bring in Dawson just because he is too up and down, and we need some stability in our midfields, honestly, because shit's just gone whack.
Speak for yourself. I'm pretty happy with my five premiums-ish in midfield, if you call Matt Rowell that, who's coming off.
No, he's not. I told you not to bring him in.
I just want to quickly say, regarding Matt Rowell, he's probably had the three toughest midfield matchups in the last 3 weeks, Sydney, Brisbane, and then Western Bulldogs. He now has Hawthorn, which is arguably like fourth worst, but then it does open up after that. So call your Jets on Matt Rowell. I know it's frustrating, but
Anderson's better, just saying.
Well, yeah, I made a mistake that week. I had the option of both and I chose the wrong one. Anyway, we're talking about Jordan Dawson.
Yeah, exactly.
I really like Dawson. He's a really good price. He's got the capability of going really big, which we know. The next two matchups are really nice, but then it's Sydney and Brisbane, and then Hawthorn, and then the bye. So it could be a case where you wait until after the bye, and then it's Richmond, Melbourne. So, but I don't think it's a horrible. Don't think it's a horrible trade in this week at the price.
Yeah. We'll move to the forward line. We're ignoring rucks. Everyone's rucks is pretty much established, and
I just want to quickly touch on the rucks. So Max Gawn is 735k.
That's why I want to trade him out.
With a break even of 95, which is pretty insane.
Yeah, I know. Because the cash gen is so fucked up, Pato, I'm honestly tempted. Let him go up one more price rise and trade the fucker out.
Well, if you were trading him out, you'd do it this week because McInerney is a really restrictive ruck and has a good record against Gawn, although he just conceded 186 to Cherry.
Well, that's who I'd trade down to would be Cherry.
That only makes you 50K. Is that worth the trade?
Cash gen's hard.
Sure, there's another way you can do that.
You have to have at least one of Gawn or Cherry.
I've got both, so I've got nothing to worry about.
All that money just sitting there. Yeah, so anyway, keep going on the ruck line.
I just want to say TDK owners are surely getting a little bit nervous now. His last two have not been great. Break even of 146. He's just looking tired, which is a concern for owners, surely. But Cherry and Gawn, like, they're almost out of reach. Cherry plays Richmond this week.
Yeah, true.
Like, he could score 200, legitimately.
Yeah, true. True, true, true.
And there really is actually anything else in the line.
Well, there is a ruck that's also a
Darcy Cameron's doing well.
That we should actually probably talk about.
No.
No, and I know
not
it's
a long-term
filthy
injury.
What?
Darcy's not cooked.
Luke Jackson is going well. He's gone 91, 97, 165, 115, 64, 111. He's actually not too bad. Should we be considering him?
I owned him last year, no.
Okay. Well, that leads me into the forward line. We've only got one person listed down, and honestly, why would you want to change your forward line when you got Ryan Marich up there? Honestly, Pato. Don't have him.
Stop it. I told everyone he'd be a captain option too.
Yeah, no, you did.
The official
Supercoach podcast put him down in their graphic for Captain's Corner.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was one of the three captains on the graphic.
Wow. The only problem is his big scores come when McGovern doesn't play.
Yeah, who cares? We're talking about the next guy because I just want to say, Marek, what a lad. Doesn't matter. Everything's a bonus now. But James Peatling's the only guy that we have. 452K, 89 average, 4% owned, 41 break even. I say no, because Matt Crouch is back in like 4 weeks. This would be short-term play kind of thing. Although, there is something I want to discuss in question time, Pato, and I'll probably raise it then. And that's about short-term plays for cash generation, considering we have a rookie crisis.
We just said no to a short-term cash gen guy.
No, that's...
Who plays Collingwood, who don't tag West Coast, Sydney, Brisbane, Hawthorn before his bye.
Yeah, so this is like... That was why I said we can discuss that later with that. But yeah, I don't like Peatling myself.
Yeah, fair.
The one I did
like. I think he's an okay option if you're in a good position trading-wise.
How good's Matt Kennedy?
I mean, if you like 95s out of your F6, sure. Better than my 51 that I got from my F6 this weekend.
125, 119, 108, 97.
Yeah.
Pretty decent. Question time, Paddo. I don't think we got anything on Twitter because I only put it up this morning. Shit times. We've got to learn to put them out the day before, don't we?
Yeah, it was Mother's Day. I was busy.
Yeah. We still got some on Facebook, though. So let me just go, instead of most relevant, go to all comments. We'll start with Sam. He goes, Boxall or El Hawley?
For a trade-in, the one that's going to play, and that's El Hawley.
Yep, I agree. Next one. Jesus Christ. Peter from Nerds for Life. He goes, I probably won't do this, but I want your thoughts on it. Also, I'm sure you're going to discuss Caleb Daniel. I'm thinking that his next three against Richmond, Collingwood, and West Coast could be good for him scoring-wise. And then he just writes down Jed Buse. So anyway, he's got here trading out Xavier Lindsay, Caden Cleary, and Clay Hall. Trading in Jack Sinclair, Ash Daywicks, and Mr. Delana from the Giants.
Archer Daywicks.
Oh, who cares? Archer, Ash.
Oh, Archer Poppetjes. I don't like that because of the third trade there. I don't like trading out Hall, who is killing it in the waffle, mind you.
Yeah, Delana's probably going to get dropped.
And Hall probably comes in for maybe Hewitt this week.
Daywicks isn't even guaranteed a spot either.
I feel like he plays, but I wouldn't be going early on him either. So, look, as I sort of mentioned before, I'd be holding your Lindsay types. He's got a 30 break even or something as well, 36. So he's got more money to make, but like you're not holding him for his cash gen. You're holding him because he's a warm body. Like he's actually playing. So I don't love that. Like Sinclair's a great trade in option, but I don't like the other trades involved in that one. In terms of Caleb Daniel, like this is why I'm reluctant to trade him out because of the next three. But at the same time, he cannot be far from a dropping. And if I can turn him into Zach Merritt, I know who I prefer in my team.
Oh, yeah, 100.
And that leaves Levi Ashcroft as my F6 until I work out who I want in my forward line.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't say Joe Fonte because literally he got a 29, not good. Cody Angove didn't set the world on fire with a 28. Josiah Delana, we already spoke about him. Hugh Boxall, 38. Ugh. Here's one, Paddo, and I just realized that Lloyd, he's already commented on him. Jackson Binns, 65.
He actually looked really good, so I don't mind it.
He's only played the one game. That's the problem. Going early on these guys.
And that's why I don't like it. Because Carlton actually have some guys banging on the door. And I'll just quickly bring up their VFL stats. But I know the other Camporeale twin is smashing down the door.
Yeah, the superior one that everyone thought was going to debut. And then the other one got...
Well, he was injured. So that's why Ben didn't play. But he had 34 touches on the weekend. You've also got Sam Doherty who had 38. And we know who he is. Will Hayes, is he on the AFL list? He had 31 touches and a goal. Lucas had 19 touches. That's probably not banging down the door, but there's a few guys there that are kind of knocking. So I don't know whether you can jump on early, even though Binns looked really good. He also had 7 clangers. That's the problem. They're looking for someone that doesn't turn the ball over. Matt Carroll got dropped. Didn't even see his name when I looked up the stats. He didn't play VFL. So maybe they held him out and he might come back in. It also seems like Pitnett possibly got held out as well because he only had 8 hitouts. So I guess it's possible that he might even come back this week finally, Dano. So I can't advocate bring him in. If he plays again and scores 70-odd and then plays that third game, he'd be the number one option. But I can't do it this week.
Yeah, okay. So Lloyd, he said, out of all the rookies, who are you most confident in? We said Sardell Hawley. He goes, I'm leaning towards breaking my rule this week and going early on Jackson Binns. We're saying hold off.
Yeah, I'm saying hold off. El Hawley's good. He's not on people's radars because his break even is 19. So if you order by break even, you got to scroll right down. But I think El Hawley is the one that break even will reset and, provided he keeps playing games, full games.
Holy fuck, Paddo. I didn't realize we missed a rookie price defender in one of the shittest teams.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, we did. Oh. Sandy Brock.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, we missed Sandy Brock.
He's not playing this week.
Oh, isn't he?
McGovern's back. He's out.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Plus, also, Oscar Allen was laid out. He's been playing defense. We didn't miss shit, mate. I don't miss these things.
Okay, well, Liam goes, how many rookies should we have on field at the moment? He has 5, and he could get it down to 4 if he did these trades. And the trades are Caleb Daniel, Connor O'Sullivan? Yeah, Connor O'Sullivan, Jackson Pryor out, Sandy Brock, Dane Zorko, Bailey Dale in. I don't like it too much now that you've said that. Jackson Pryor just got a 93, so he's still got to make more money.
Pryor could be the one that plays the loose role now. But, I mean, if you listened up to now, you know my thoughts on Bailey Dale. I like Zorko as a trade-in. I don't like Brock. So if you can go Al Hawley and Zorko for Daniel and O'Sullivan, I like that. You don't have to worry about Bailey Dale.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, Michael goes, who goes first, Bice, Cleary, Hewitt, or Sartis? The funny thing is, Sardis in the VFL looks like he's all Australian or all Victorian, however you want to put it. And he comes up to AFL level and is it just a disappointment?
So he comes up to AFL and plays like 50 to 60% time on ground. He's surely getting close to 80 to 90 in the VFL, getting 40 touches. So, and I know obviously AFL is a lot bigger, but in terms of running patterns and covering the ground, like it's the same sport. Anyway, it might be whoever gets dropped this weekend, Michael, because the Swans were terrible. So Cleary could be in trouble there, even though he's the only healthy natural forward on that list, pretty much. Hewitt could also get dropped, so that might play into that decision. I spoke about Bice before. I don't think he's a good trade out. Yes, I know the break even is high, but he's almost guaranteed to play, so I think he's a hold. And you kind of cop the price drops, and who knows, you may have a spike score and reset the break even. I mean, Sardis got dropped, which hurts a lot. I traded him in, then traded him out, and if he comes back in, he'll probably score 100 for you. Boxshaw is absolutely not the only option this week. We talked before about how he's not a good option because I feel like he goes this week. In terms of the defenders, we talked about them before. Sinclair, of those three, I think are the best to trade in.
We actually never put that bit down in the question. Oops. So what Pato's doing is he's reading ahead again. So Michael also asked, Nasiah, Langanin, Miller, Clark or Sinclair, which one this week?
In order, I would say Sinclair, Naz, Clark.
Yeah, okay. Tim goes, is this the time to hold with not many rookies coming through that are likely to make good cash gen?
Yes, I was going to bring this up before. It's either a hold or you use this week to correct some primo stuff. So you might have a rookie. So I'm trading Cleary out this week. That could also be Hewitt if he gets dropped and Cleary holds his spot. But one of those two will go out. And I'm going to turn Caleb Daniel into an actual primo. So you could use this week as a way of like correcting that, especially if you went early on Al Hawley for whatever reason. Because the rest of the rookies are no good. So, like, sure, Hussweight might score 40, but 40 is better than a donut.
Yeah.
So there's no harm in holding if you don't, because you can't afford to keep carrying these dead rookies.
Yeah, it's fucked.
It's bad. I'm so worried about buys because I got Peyton and Erasmus on my forward line bench who scored 24 between them on the weekend. I got Buslinger, who hopefully comes back. O'Sullivan, I'm stuck with him. I mean, at least he's playing, but not well. Gross. Yeah, like it's bad. So you don't want to keep trading into these duds. You want to, keep holding on to the guys that are actually playing.
So, Pato, do we consider doing like mid prices that will gain cash quite quick?
Yeah, but there's no one.
Well, okay, so we got Mateus Philippou, 313, 314K. He's played one game, his break-even's 50, he should beat that, and he's got West Coast this week. His price won't change, though, but his projected score is 90. And then against Gold Coast, his projected score is 96. He's actually going to increase a little bit, not 100K or anything like that, but let's say by round 16, he's projected to be about 411K. So just under 100,000. Is that worth a play and hope that he scores better than what they project him to be?
I don't think so, not with him.
No, okay.
Like, I could consider, like, a forward that has a really good run the next few weeks, and I haven't looked at the fixture deep enough to know who, like, to actually give a name.
What about a guy that was getting sub-affected but is now scoring solid 70? And
who's that?
224K.
Who's that?
Xavier O'Halloran.
No. Surely. No.
No, okay.
No, that's gross.
Because he's gone like, if down you can, in if, price because if you can of find all of
someone that has Richmond and West Coast in the next few weeks, like a forward, I would jump on them.
Richmond round 12.
Yeah, who does Richmond play in round 12? Because that's the bad buy. GWS. Giants.
Yeah.
Jesse Hogan.
I'm just saying.
Actually, key defense is the one position that Richmond are good in. Jeremy Cameron has West Coast in that round.
So like, there's guys in that awkward bracket that you could bring in. I'm trying to find like the guys under 300k, but there's really not too many. But there are some like your Xavier O'Halloran's that are low 200,000s. They've lost a lot of money because they've been subs, but now they're actually not getting subs.
I don't know. I just think it's all garbage. That's why holding is a very good option this week.
And O'Halloran has the potential to pop off a 100 randomly. So, fuck, if he does it this week, I'm going to kick myself. there's a few different ones out there. Who's really... Oh, well, you wouldn't go James O'Donnell. He's too, like, up and down. He was averaging 57.5 and he got a 115, so... But, like, is there anyone... Oh, here we go. Caleb Windsor was a high draft pick. 334.
Mate, no.
No? Okay. Well, you needed to discuss it because there is a rookie crisis, Pato, and it's kind of fucked, so...
So there's nothing wrong with holding trades. I know a lot of content creators just want to go gung-ho and see everyone use their trades by the end of the buys, but there's nothing wrong with holding them.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna risk it in the I'm gonna risk it for the biscuit in defense and have Bo Allen on field and hope that he gets named.
Jesus.
But if not, Sardell Hawley comes on. There you go. So I might as well just swap.
Yes.
All right, Pato. Well, and the other one, sorry, was James's tag watch. You know what? Should we combine tag watch with the VCCs just to make it a little bit easier and speed things up?
We could. I would be interested, and maybe James can give us some feedback on this. I'd be interested in how many of the tags we call. Obviously, it's helpful for him because he keeps asking every week, and that's yeah, great. Yeah. But I'd be interested to know whether we're hitting on the tags every week.
Yeah. Well, we're not called the Supercoach Co-Captains for nothing. Each week we give you guys VC and C options to set your team apart from the rest. Now we're also combining it this round with a tag watch as well. So, to start with, Thursday night's game. We'll start with the VC options in this one. Pato, who do you have and why is it Noah Anderson? Let's go.
I don't know. I feel like Hawthorn tagged someone, so I don't actually have an option for this game.
Oh, tag option then, because we've got to do a tag. Who do you reckon they tag?
One of the midfielders will get tagged. One of the Suns midfielders will get tagged.
I reckon it's Rao.
It could even also be almost a double tag where Jai Newcomb will match up with Rao and just nullify him, and then they might throw a Finn... Finn fuckface on Anderson.
Finn fuckface. The inferior Finn. Okay. We'll go Friday. Sydney Swans versus Carlton at the SCG.
Yeah, another big tag watch here with probably Cripps, sadly.
I don't reckon.
You don't?
Nah.
He doesn't have a good record against Sydney.
I reckon they might. I know he hasn't been playing that great, but maybe a Walsh will be the one that they'll tag. Like, James Jordan's a pretty fucking good runner.
I mean, you don't need to be a good runner at the SCG. It's the size of a fucking under 12 oval.
Oh, VC options in this one, not really having any.
I mean, maybe De Koning, if he's solo rucking, might be an okay option. But nothing stands out in either of these two games, which is a real shame because it's you like to get your VC out of the way early, but I don't like either of these.
Yeah, right. Fair enough. I just want to double check something. Oh, okay. Well, Noah Anderson really fucking likes Hawthorn, which I did not know in the previous game. There you go. Okay, Saturday. What the fuck? I just realized. Is this Sir Doug Nicholls round?
Not sure.
Because they have updated the logos and I did not realize until I started reading.
That's next week because it's stream time.
Okay, so they're just doing theirs early. Okay, well, Saturday, Collingwood versus Kawhi. Which is the Adelaide Crows and the MCG.
Bit of a Dacos tag watch here. Last year they tagged him for a 105.
A lot of teams are tagging him at the moment. I think it's the only one that we're going to hit every week.
Yeah. Break even of 193. It fucking sucks.
Oh, so good.
I actually think Dawson pops off in this game. So if you have him, he'd be really worth a VC. Collingwood do not tag at all.
Rankin?
Rankin's a good shout as well.
Yeah.
125 against them last year. I just don't know if the ceiling is there because Collingwood would probably win this game at the G.
Yeah. Next one is Port Adelaide, aka Yatapulti versus Geelong Cats. I'm going to say that. Adelaide Oval.
I'm looking at the fixtures on the Supercoach website, so that's got the normal teams. Oh, sorry, I should say the colonised teams.
Names. Fucking hell.
What?
The normal teams, I mean the colonised teams.
Yes.
Butters, Rosie, Baz Lanka.
I feel like Butters could get tagged. He could get O'Connor. But Rosie I really like as an option in this one.
Fucking tag Butters. So no Baz. He's turned into a bit of a captain option.
Yeah, he is. I can't help but feel that Port Adelaide sent someone to him.
Yeah, okay.
But he is we haven't really mentioned him as a captain option this year just because he's played a lot of teams that do like a tag. But once he's passed that, he's also got the Dogs next week, who he's never played against, and who knows how that's going to look. That'll be a very interesting game, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
But then it's West Coast, Gold Coast, Essendon, really opens up after that. So yeah. I don't like Port Adelaide. They're a tagging team, and you wouldn't tag anyone else but Smith at the moment, surely. I know some teams have tagged Holmes, but in terms of impact, it's Bailey Smith. He's the one, surely.
Well, unfortunately, at the same time as this game, we've also got the other game, which is a Giants versus Wallyaloop, which is Fremantle. Oh, my fucking God. Fremantle at Engie Stadium. I am trying to pronounce these. Brayshaw had a big 147 last year in round 23 against the Giants. So he likely the Giants. Pretty sure Tom Green also doesn't mind Freo, if I can quickly bring that up.
So if Bedford's back, Dano, who does he go to?
I think that everyone just keeps tagging Sarong.
Yeah, so...
Oh, here we go. Yeah, Tom Green really likes Freo. So 143 in 2024 and 127 in 2023. They don't really have anyone that can run with him. So yeah, if you're bringing Tom Green in, I wouldn't mind a cheeky VC on him this round.
Just not sure he has the ceiling that you want from your captain when... I mean, there's better options in this time slot that, there's two standouts for me in this game.
Yeah, who?
And that's Brayshaw and Whitfield. And then there's also a little star there where if Sean Darcy doesn't play and you are part of the small percentage of people that have Luke Jackson, I don't mind him as a VC.
See, I've noticed something in the media, and this is all going off on a tangent. Whenever Kingy mentions something, the coaches do it the very next week. And Kingy mentioned that you can't keep letting Whitfield and Ash run around doing whatever the fuck they want. And because he's just said that as the summary of the week, I feel like one of Whitfield or Ash will get actually clamped down in this game. For your sake, I hope it's Ash.
I mean, Freo don't do that to defenders, though.
Yeah, but whenever Kingy's come out and said something, for some reason, a coach will go out and just do it. He usually points out the obvious.
It's not Longmuir, though.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, there's a tension coming. Carlton next week, possibly. Richmond won't. Port Adelaide will. Brisbane might. Gold Coast won't. West Coast won't. I think it's fine.
We'll move on.
I see what you mean, though, but I don't think the teams that are coming up will do that.
Oh, it's usually the very next round that he says it.
Yeah.
So I feel like this will be the round where that one of them gets clamped. Anyway, Western Bulldogs versus Essendon, 7:35 p.m. Marvel Stadium. Got to be the Bond, surely.
But our listeners are not dumb and they don't have Bond and Pally, Dano.
Some of them do.
Well, they didn't listen. Yeah, Bontempelli is an obvious one. Although, from memory, didn't Durham do really well against him last year? Kept him to 73 points in round 5.
Oh, there you go.
So this could be the real down game that we're waiting for with Bontempelli.
Well, he had sub 100 last round.
Yeah, so then he goes that back-to-back. He'll be right for the picking after his bye.
Oh, yeah.
So that'll be nice. Feel like an Ed Richards gets off the chain in this one.
No Libba.
Libba I like as an option as well.
Yeah. Merritt.
No, I don't like the matchup.
No, okay.
Even though I'm probably bringing Merritt in, I don't like the matchup.
I like Nick Martin at Marvel versus Bullrock.
Yeah, I could advocate for that. For a VC, not a C.
Yeah, VC, not a C. I think...
The C's coming on Sunday for everyone.
Who owns them, yeah.
Well,
this next game, I don't own the one that you're referring to.
Well, that is your problem, mate.
That is my problem indeed. And that is Richmond versus North Melbourne at the MCG. Patty's
going
Cherry.
Captain, the easiest captain of the week.
I'm going, something's going to happen and Cherry's going to get subbed out. Watch this space.
Oh, get fucked. You did not just mozzie him.
I think I just mozzed him. He's going to go 200 now. Watch him. He'll go 200.
I'll happily take his 400.
And if
the problem is, Brayshaw probably gets 130 and I take that and then Cherry goes 180.
Well, do what I did when you shunned me for not taking Sheasel's score, and I said, nah, Maxi Gorn's going to go huge, and then he goes like 198.
Yeah.
So I've just got to have the balls, man. Have the balls.
I, for what it's worth, I think Sheasel's also a really good option in this game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, halfback slut. Can I just say something? Tim Taranto was on like 94 at halftime last round. What the fuck did he finish on?
He scored 108.
That is pathetic for a second half.
Some reason, West Coast lost the game and they got a lot of the scaling points at the end, which doesn't make sense to me.
No, but like he was sitting on the like 94 for ages. It wasn't scaling. It's just, I don't know what happened.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah. Anyway, Brisbane versus NAM Melbourne. I got that one right. Oh, fuck. The next one I won't get right. the Gabba.
I don't know. So
Clayton Oliver's been tagging,
reborn as a fucking tagger. As a recently new Lachie Neal owner, that makes me nervous because that is going to be who he goes to if he tags again. Apparently, it was Oliver's idea as well.
No one believes that shit. Simon Goodwin spin.
Well, maybe Goodwin just said that there was a bag of something in his shorts and who did he tag again?
I don't know.
Oh, what's his name? The Duke Newcomb.
Oh, there you go.
So, yeah, you couldn't go Neil. Otherwise, I would have. If you have McCluggage, I like him as a C. I don't mind Zorko as an option.
Ooh, yeah, the Zork.
But if Coleman plays, I think you don't captain him just in case there's something weird with his role. I know people will be thinking about Gorn. I don't like him because the matchup is not great against McInerney.
Hang on. Didn't we go over Gorn's history against McInerney and it was funny? Yeah, this is one where he got a 215 and a zero in like the same season in 2023.
Yeah.
I don't mind Gorn. He's in hot form.
Yeah, I just feel like it's a 110, not a 140.
Yeah. All right, we'll go to the... Oh, what about Petrarca or Nah?
Nah,
okay. Last one. Okay, fuck.
It'd be a bloodbath.
Bear with me here. Walich Marawa versus Uroki.
For any First Nations people out there that might be listening, I just want to apologize.
On behalf of Dana,
we are trying, or he is trying, and we don't mean any disrespect to your wonderful culture.
No, I'm actually trying so hard to get this right. So that's West Coast Eagles versus St Kilda at Optus Stadium in Wajuk in Perth. I know I got that one right. So yeah, who
Marshall, Sinclair, Wanganui Malera.
No one from West Coast like Marek.
McRae.
No, you don't like Marek because he's got the gov back, you reckon?
Yeah, with the gov, it's no good.
Yeah. All right. Well, Pato, what's your Twitter handle?
At PAWTOSCCC.
Mine is at DANEOSCCC. And you can find us also on Facebook, Supercoach Co-Captains. We're going to try and start posting a little bit more on Facebook after people are like, why don't you post your VCs and shit like that when they get up and whatnot? So we did it last week with one image, kind of worked okay. So I get what you guys mean. We'll try and generate a bit more engagement on our stuff. So yeah. Anyway,
I just want to say, like, I post a fair bit on X, and I don't always remember to switch over to Facebook and post on there. So apologies for that. We probably need to try to do a bit better at that.
Yeah, we need to be better at the face space. Anyway, so from us at the Supercoach Co-Captains, I'm Dano.
And I'm Pato.
And this is us signing.
Fuck off.